Wheel you hear in the background, I do apologize.
But unfortunately, we're not going to be hearing Jerry Mandel. We're actually going to be hearing me through the proper mic. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Some foolish person put on one of my past shows, actually yesterday's special show, which I did, and you get to, now you're going to get a double dose of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. But stay tuned. You may enjoy it. I have special guests with me, as well as call-ins that are coming in. So stay tuned for Adrian Stone, Gypsy at Large, and Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.
Efficiency in progress is ours once more. Now that we have the neutron bomb, it's nice and quick and clean and dirty done. Away with the sense and know me, but know this valued our property. The sense and war, but perfect sense. It's still unborn of his lacking light. It's all been moved and swept away. It might still have more room to play. I'll fix them so it kills the fool tonight. Gotta kill the fool.
That was the Dead Kennedys, Kill the Poor. You may remember it from olden times. You are tuned to Free Radio, as mentioned before, 101.1 FM, hopefully with an operational mic. I think that's a little better there. Welcome. I'm Robert Norris. The name of the show is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. My special guest today, and we hope her mic is working.
Hello.
Is Adrian Stone. Hey, Adrian.
Hi.
And Adrian is a woman I just ran into. We're just good friends. I want you to know this is not a payoff or anything. Adrian is a mom, a grandmom, a gypsy, an old-time Santa Cruzan, what, fifth generation?
That's right.
And I actually got very interested in Adrian, not only because of course, her physical appearance, which is circumstantial, but because she has a lot of tips on how to survive as a gypsy, although you haven't lived your whole life as a gypsy, you've done many other things, right?
I know. I was a mom. I had a mortgage. I did the whole nine yards.
When did you give up your mom trip? Actually, you had five daughters, right?
Right. I haven't given that up. That's a lifelong adventure.
Uh-huh.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Do it again, we throw you out.
Okay.
She's
right.
Tapping her pen, folks.
I'm a little nervous.
It's shocking.
Well, I was a mom for a long time, and in those experiences, I've learned some things about taking care of a family or a home or yard or kids. And so I offer my services, and it seems that if I was home, I wouldn't get these opportunities to, you know, help people with house sitting or mm-hmm. take their kids to school or whatever I do with that. It's been a lot of fun.
And your father is a famous photographer, Ken Stone.
Yes.
In the area, who I never heard of, but then I'd never heard of any photographers either, so.
Right.
Maybe some Civil War photographers, but and you, what I noticed about you is that you're in a gypsy phase of your life now, but you're preparing to transition back into a more settled phase, doing regular work. Your regular work is what, photography, or what do you do regularly?
Regularly, I sell my father's work from the 50s.
Uh-huh.
They were postcards, and he did mostly the San Lorenzo Valley. He did all of Santa's Village, mm-hmm. The Lost World, and around the beach. Mm-hmm. So if people from my era in the 60s spent their summers here, this is the photos that they love to see and reminisce.
Are you a photographer in your own right? I mean, do you take pictures, or are you just a seller of your dad's stuff? I mean, what's going on
here? I think
here?
It's a natural thing if you've been around a photographer your whole life like I have, that I just guess I took it on naturally to see a good photo. You know, it's got to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you just look at things like that naturally in life. So, but I like videography. I like to see things in action.
Uh-huh.
Mostly watching my children doing
their
sports.
You didn't bring your camera with you, I
know. No, I don't have a camera right now, so.
Uh-huh. Oh, a photographer without a camera. This is a little suspicious to me. But you know, the reason that we got together is here today at the studio is because you have. We were talking earlier today. You were. We have mutual friends in common. We happen to meet, and you talked about the ways that a person can live what's called the gypsy life by, you know, crashing with friends or crashing even sometimes mm-hmm. with people you don't know very well, but adopting a kind of mm-hmm. a code of conduct. Tell me a little mm-hmm. bit about that.
Well, I think, you know, having been on the planet a long time now, over 60 years, I can say that I read people pretty well and figured out what's a good vibe and what isn't. And because this is my hometown, you know, I'm in civilization, I've found that a lot of friends are very warm and caring to me and have me come and stay with them for, you know, a night or two. And in turn, I do, you know, maybe something they don't want to do, like clean their refrigerator.
Wash the dishes.
Oh, that's just, I'll do that automatically.
Sweep the floor.
Yeah, just do those things.
Fix the car.
I mean, you know, I would think by rights they'd want me to come back. So if I make a nice impression every time I go somewhere, then, you know, pretty good.
How long have you been doing this?
It's gone on 4 years now.
So and what's your average stay time at anybody's house?
Oh, if it's my children, maybe out of town, I might stay a couple of weeks. But most of the time, it's one night or three nights or, you know, about three nights. Then give me time to make dinner or do some chores.
You make good dinner. You made dinner last night at the complex where I was.
Thank you very much.
I was at. And
yeah, that was like a
tuna casserole was very tasty.
A quick tuna casserole for 10.
Yeah.
And they were all
for
pleased.
For 10, wow.
Yeah, it was a piece of cake.
Yeah. So, but you have certain, you were telling me certain pieces of advice you have for those who would follow in your footsteps.
Oh, yeah. I've thought about different aspects of gypsy living, especially in these days for, you know, the way the economy's going, and people might be in a situation that, you know, gypsies by choice. And I find that being mobile has given me lots of opportunities to experience.
You have a vehicle.
People. Yes, I have a limousine that everybody loves to ride around in with me, so I'm in that all the time. So I found out if you have a good running car, a cell phone, say a post office box, and a bag of cash helps.
Oh, hey. You're taking me out to dinner after the show, right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, maybe not tonight.
Maybe not tonight. They always say that.
I don't carry cash today.
Oh, dear. You can, you know.
Tomorrow, maybe.
Well.
Yeah.
We can find somebody who can give you a credit, but go ahead. So.
So I've kind of come up with a few little rules to live by if you were going to be invited by an ever-loving friend to spend the night at your home that, you know, first when you get there, you pause and see what's going on. You don't go right in and start putting your stuff all over the place because people think you're moving in and they don't like it. Mm-hmm. And so if you keep everything in your car and they ask you when you get up in the morning, what are you doing today? You say, I was just leaving.
I was just leaving. That was a great line. I like that. What are you doing? I was just leaving.
I was just leaving. So they can go either way with that. Like, oh, great, she's leaving. Or, oh, we were going to take you to the rodeo. I'd be like, oh, well, maybe I could change my mind. And so then maybe I'll stay another day and I'll make dinner. I make sure that I always, I don't want to just sit around. I want to do things where I am to be.
You don't want to appear to be settling in.
Oh, no. Nobody wants to see that. They want to make sure that you're, you know, there just for the love. That's another thing. If you want to be a gypsy, you got to love people. Otherwise, you might as well just burrow away somewhere and forget it. And I do love people. And I have a lot of fun.
How broad and expansive is your gypsy travels? How far has it taken you?
Oh, I would say that I haven't been because I like to stay near my family, that I haven't left the area. I have a lot going on here. So it's been that kind of living by choice. If I was going to move away somewhere and travel, I'd
get it. So you're sort of a gypsy in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, here's a caller. As I munch a sandwich, let's see what the caller has to ask or say. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Adrian and Robert.
Hi, Robert. I've lost my voice, but you know what? Let me call you back. Let me see if I can work on my throat a little bit.
Sure, sure. And we can still hear you, so call back if you'd like. My, that's a... It could be either a romantic interlude. No, I mean, the person sounds like she's lost
wasn't
her voice.
Sure what was
I think I recognize
happen.
Who that is, but, you know,
really?
Feel free, caller, yeah, to call back and, you know, or to wait till a better time when, you know, you feel more comfortable calling in.
Yeah.
Call-in number, by the way, for those who want to ask questions of Adrian or of me, hey, I'm here too, 427-3772 is the call-in number, 427-FRSC. I do also want to add that at 7 o'clock, Curly Estramonte, I think that's the right pronunciation of his name, will be calling in. He is an activist who was beaten by police, incarcerated, taken to the hospital. He gave a brief description of some of that at the end of the last of the Sunday show. I've been doing a lot of extra shows, so one of which was repeated the beginning of it right before this show. By the way, if you do want to hear the Downtown Commission's interesting discussion of the downtown ordinances, which wasn't even on their agenda, which we knew nothing about, and which essentially was the prologue to the quick and dirty ram through that the city council did passing these anti-homeless laws in January and February. Go to the website huffsantacruz.org and click on the show, the extra show from yesterday. That you can't do that yet, actually. It hasn't been uploaded, but it should be sometime in the next few days, and you can actually hear that again. If you're interested, just to mention that. Again, as I was saying, Curly is going to be on the air at 7. He'll be calling in from San Jose. If you want to get a kind of a quick kind of update on that before he comes onto the air to read his 11-page grim account of what happened to him a couple of weeks ago, go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. That's Santa Cruz Indie Media. And scroll down the side of the screen. The name of the story is Police Torture Activist. And there are 9 comments on it. Raul Estramiris, or Curly as we call him, who's been an active supporter of a number of human rights struggles, the fight for a fair trial for Mumia Abu-Jamal, for the rights of poor and homeless people, for the rights of people not to be abused, beaten, killed, and tasered by police in different cities. And this story talks about what happened to him when he was wrongly arrested, beaten by the Hayward police. Curly's also a poet. I haven't heard his poetry lately, but that's how he describes himself on this story. He supported the Santa Cruz Five about 10 years ago. That was a group of five activists who were arrested for a peaceful protest, a very vocal but peaceful protest against the Yugoslavian war, by the Clinton war, the one that, you know, preceded the Bush war. We've all forgotten, you know, in the wake of Bush, how much it was really prepared for by Führer Clinton and his stuff. And we're getting more of the same now from Obama. But anyway, in the studio with me is Adrienne, who's listening patiently to all my blather. And she actually is going to be kind of a reluctant, compelled co-host. She's got some more tips on how to be a welcome guest and how not to outstay your welcome and how to be able to actually encourage people to invite you back so you can keep hitting the same spots again as you look for a place to stay and as you struggle to find some joy in life as you do the gypsy life, which is, gypsies are supposed to be joyful, right? They dance. They say, are you a dancer?
Oh, yes, I am.
You're a dancer.
Yes,
actually, I have some musical little dancing in the studio. Of course, I'm not a very good dancer. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a sleeper than a dancer or more of a groper than a dancer, really. So, but anyway, go ahead. Tell me more about that.
I'll keep my distance.
Keep your distance. It's always wise around me, or at least, you know, either that or close the distance, as the case may be.
Let's see. Okay, what? Ask me a question about if you were on all of a sudden out on the road, you were on the street, you just gave up your place, now there's nowhere to go.
Okay.
When you're in your home, in your hometown.
What do you do?
What do you do? Well, first you hopefully have let your friends know that you're not going to have a place. And someone offers, take the offer. If it's just one night or an afternoon, don't pass up because you don't know when they're going to come around. My friends now know that if I'm still without homebound, they can take trips and call me and say, oh, hope you didn't get a house yet because we want to go to Scotland for 3 weeks. And then there I am.
But how many of us have friends who are going to go to Scotland for 3 weeks, Mrs. Fifth generation Santa Cruz, well, daughter of a rich photographer woman?
Fifth generation definitely is an assistance in this. So I just have a lot of fun, and I just found out there's just so many reasons that I didn't need a house that I don't even know if I want to get one again because it's just always something new.
But you are planning to abandon the gypsy life in a few months.
Yeah, right? I will this year. So probably
you're gonna do some work. You're gonna whip out some more photos from your dad and sell them.
Can I have my little March Madness meatloaf festival?
Now wait a minute. Is this gonna? We're in the middle of a depression here. Don't you think your little bubble might be popped by reality here? What's going to happen?
Well, all the friends get together, and I make the food and show the photos. It's just everybody needs a mom, and I'm a mom.
And a grandmom.
And a grandmother, and all that kind of fun stuff I've had given to me in my life. That I don't know, I just love everybody, too. So
I think that these tips you have are useful for people, you know, who are both either voluntarily, involuntarily, or voluntarily homeless, who are looking to travel lightly and to
real lightly.
So, so tell me more about what should you do when you come into a household. You accept the invitation.
Right.
If asked where you're going, you say what you're doing. You say, I'm leaving. I'm on my way out. I've got plans.
I've got plans. What's up?
Okay.
And if they're going to do a barbecue, then I'll, you know, if you have money, then you offer, you know, either food or money or something like that. If you don't, then you offer your services of, you know, working around the house, get out the vacuum cleaner and just, you know, do something. If they're insulted by you wanting to clean, hey, more power to you. There's a movie coming on. Just do what they do. You know, it's like you would do at anybody's, like, party. If they eat with their fingers, you eat with your fingers. You know, it's that kind of philosophy.
If you're an attractive woman, have you had any problems have you had any problems with no snorting and no snickering, please?
Okay, thank you.
Yes. you know, with one of the things that happens with women who are invited into homes is that there's other expectations. It happens with young men, too, but have you encountered that kind of problem in your 4 years where there's a demand for any kind of
no, actually.
put out, baby, or get out, that sort of thing, you know?
No, and I wouldn't be with those people in the first place, so it isn't an issue.
So these are people mainly you know.
Yeah, they're good friends, good girlfriends, people I've known, my kids. They have family, so if I'm babysitting, then that's when I get the shower and maybe do a load of laundry. And
although I hear most abuse of children, at least, happens within families, so maybe you got to watch out for your friends.
Yeah, I know. I hug them quite a bit so they can't grow. I don't know what it is. I just love them so much.
Got the love there.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like, I mean, you know, I've been, a lot of what I talk about on the air has to do with people who are involuntarily and perennially homeless for all kinds of different reasons, and sometimes voluntarily homeless, but who don't often have the kind of network of housed people that they can go to. Mm-hmm. For example, they're often in a town they weren't born in. They're in a town where they don't have friends. Any suggestions for those folks?
Well, be as nice as you can. I've made a point that people don't have to have you come into their home. And if you're nice, that's first usually a key to, being welcome. So I've made a point that don't argue with people when you're in their home. They were nice enough to bring me in. Why would I want to, put my two cents if I didn't agree? So I go along, and then I'm always leaving. So, I don't want to be in any confrontations with anybody. And so I see it coming. I'm out the door and on to whatever. I have a lot of things I'm doing. I'm busy, so it's really, I don't sleep a lot. I have probably 7 hours that I need, and I'm going.
You mentioned also that you prefer couches to beds.
What
is this obsession you
have
with couches?
It's just a psychiatric thing when you were a kid, you had psychoanalysis.
Must
be. I always thought that if I was ready to go, because I have this limousine, if somebody needed me, I'm ready to go like a fireman, I've got everything but my shoes on. And
you'll be on the couch, you're not in the
bed.
Yeah,
then it just, it works out that I changed my clothes, had my shower, and I said there's no excuse for anybody to be dirty. So if people think, a gypsy almost, smell bad.
I smell fine, by the way. I want you to know.
Well, it's...
Even though you are a gypsy, that does work against you. Although a blonde gypsy, I don't know about this blonde stuff. You're not going to make it in Romania as a blonde gypsy.
No, it's all fake.
It's a fake.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
Did I tell you?
I don't know if it's fake.
We'll
have to look you over more closely.
All the rest is real. Okay. You're wondering. Everything is real.
As long as it's 100%. In the old days, like when political candidates like Eugene Debs, who ran for president when he was a socialist in 1920. He went to jail, actually, because he spoke against World War One. I understand he would live in people's... He would go to people's houses, one house after another, and he'd give speeches, and he'd go to somebody else's house, stay with them. it sounds great. But of course, it's not quite what you do, because those are political allies, and it doesn't sound like this is a political deal for you. And also, you're limited to one area. You haven't been roaming the country as a gypsy. You've been pretty much in Santa Cruz. I've been all over.
I fly, if I go to New York or Hawaii every once in a while, I have a few trips. I just like to be here. There's so many things to see. And I was going to say something, now I forgot what it was.
Well, if you remember, you will certainly have a chance
I won't remember.
Say it between mouthfuls here as I hear in the air.
It was good. I know that.
That was a good thought. We're talking with Adrian Stone, who's not stoned, but who is giggling a bit.
Oh, yeah, it's you, Robert.
Here at the mic. And, I still think it's a very interesting series of questions. Is how do you best make use of if you want to go to people's houses and stay with them, and you want to, I think it sounds kind of exciting, actually, to go to different people's homes and, be a part of different scenes and also make yourself available to different people. What kind of experiences have you had? Of course, we're talking about Santa Cruz experiences, so maybe you don't want to be as candid as you might be, both positive and negative. But what have you learned in the last 4 years? Any particular experiences stand out for you? Anything come to mind that you seem very, very up, very spirited.
Yep, I am. Yep.
And do you think that your lifestyle contributes to this, or were you always this way, even as a person who had a home and five daughters? And it sounds like you were fairly well-to-do, too.
Right. I couldn't wait to be a gypsy. After the mortgage and the utility bills and went on for years and all the responsibilities I was given raising up after two children were graduating from high school, I had three more daughters, so when five daughters, and they all reproduced children and produced their own, I'm like,
You're sick of it. Life. You're sick of the goddamn thing. Get out of here.
I love to go to the beach, so if I'm going to spend, how much time do you spend asleep on the beach or driving your car or doing some work you love? You're really in a home except for your stuff around you, which I have a 10 by 23 storage where all my past things are stored until I decide.
Did you dump a lot of your stuff when you became a gypsy?
Oh, yeah. All my furniture, all the awkward things. It's all boxes and memorabilia.
A famous piano that you had, you were telling me about.
Yeah, the house.
Some signed fancy piano that was worth
a
lot of money.
Yeah, Boulder Creek and the big old house. We had 50 years. So.
And you left Boulder Creek for, we were talking about this too.
Yeah.
You know, you found Boulder Creek to be quite a great scene, and then some gloomier elements intruded. What was that about?
Well, you know, being raised with, you know, in the hippie generation and just how people were, I guess, after World War II, you know, it was just have a nice time and it seemed that everything was going along great and different substances came in and then it seemed that the...
You're talking about the dangerous marijuana and
evil
LSD?
It seemed to like veer away from the alcoholism that was prevalent in the society. It seemed like the after 5 o'clock alcoholics, it was that era was dissipated by people sitting in a circle and laughing and having a nice time just hanging out together. I like that.
And you were a part of this questionable drug culture, marijuana, yes. LSD.
Yes, I was.
You smoked tobacco, probably.
I'll say it right now. I was. And I also had a form of cancer in the 70s that actually pot made it so I could tolerate the illness, the nausea. And I was one of the longest living in the nation at the time. I was on for 2 years.
In fact, this, you were telling me this was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I think the earliest cancer candidate or the earliest recorded person who was treated with marijuana for cancer, according to this, was a guy named Robert something. I'm looking him up now for glaucoma. Robert Randell, first medical marijuana patient to obtain legal access to marijuana through the Food and Drug Administration in 1978 for glaucoma. That was around the time when doctors found that 29 subjects who smoked marijuana cigarettes for 94 days showed a reduction in intraocular pressure each time they used marijuana. You were using it for a more serious ailment. I guess glaucoma is serious, but cancer is even more serious. I mean, glaucoma can blind you, but I don't think it can kill you. Maybe it can. I'm not aware of that. But you had a life-threatening illness, right?
Oh, definitely. It was how long I could withstand the drugs they were giving me to where they could kill these tumors that were in my lungs. And so I just found that if the nausea would be relieved by smoking it just a couple times a day. And so they finally took...
This was in the mid-70s, right?
Yeah, it was around 1976.
So several years before the case of Robert Randell.
Yeah, I believe it was right when they were just beginning to see the effects of chemotherapy patients with those saying that they smoked. And I was one of the rare ones that said I did. I said I have to because it just helps my stomach. And it kind of alleviates the nausea so much, just enough that it can tolerate to do it again. And I didn't know I was going to be on chemotherapy for 2 years. And it just seemed at that time that the medicine I needed was everywhere, and it was really nice to be able to...
The marijuana.
Yeah. It was in my hometown, and I knew Valley Corral when the first time she went to court, and, you know, I saw the medicinal reasons why they would want to have... They documented me and said I was the first in California at that time.
You didn't get federal funding, but you were, in fact, being kind of observed by doctors as a...
Oh, definitely.
A positive result of marijuana for chemotherapy, nausea and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. A room full of doctors documented me saying that I had smoked it a couple of times a day.
Of course, you could be lying because I looked up on the internet today and I could find no mention of your name.
Well, I've never really told many people about it. Uh-huh. And it was that I thought when they asked me in front of this room full of doctors why I didn't need the anti-nausea shots like the other patients to keep you from throwing up. If you throw up too much, you can start bleeding internally, and there'd be no way if you're on chemotherapy like I was. I was on triple chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And there was just something about it that it worked out. And so they documented me and said if I was ever pulled over and hassled to call the university and tell them, they would straighten it out for me.
Did you ever have any problems with authorities around marijuana?
No.
So was that because it was a a more mellow era because you were lucky because of your privileged white skin privilege and your upper middle class status, Adrian?
No, I always felt like I was a criminal and that it was just the way it was going to be. May that be my whole life like that.
And what did your daughters and your family think of your use of marijuana?
Oh, it's probably a few of them don't want me to.
And you're still a marijuana smoker.
Occasionally, yes.
But you don't have any active cancer anymore.
No. I had three children after that episode. That was 2 long years of that, and I just said if I could ever get a life again, I would.
Which was quite something because even though your cancer was in your lungs, it originally came from the pregnancy situation.
Oh, yeah. It was a mess. It was a pregnancy that pretty much blew up inside of me and traveled tissue and kept living in my lungs for months and kept
me
on.
Did you lose the baby? Or?
Oh, yeah. There really wasn't anything there. It was just a mess. It was just something that took me on a journey of humbling myself for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And couldn't do much. Had to stay out of the sun. Couldn't go to concerts. Didn't get to see any Grateful Dead concerts at that time.
You were a deadhead.
No, it was the T-shirt, "Have you ever been to a Grateful Dead concert?" And I'd always say no.
Did you ever get to a Grateful Dead concert?
I did after I had the baby that I had 26 years ago.
Times have certainly moved on, haven't they?
Yes.
You're talking, or you're listening, I'm talking with Adrian Stone, and I'm Robert Norris, and it's Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, the show that you're listening to on 101.1 FM, and the phone number, in case you wish to criticize us for this subject, or
sure, go ahead.
I guess you got whatever. Any comments you may have, call in 427-3772. Unless I get a call in the next 30 seconds, I'm going to immediately go to some interviews from the street, which I do all the time on this show. My main interest, what I always harangue about, Adrian, is, I don't think you probably listen to this show, but is civil rights for poor people and how they're essentially being taken away by the police, by the city council, by merchants and gentrification masters. But unfortunately, I can't do that because someone's just called in. I really resent this. I don't even know if I should answer the phone. All right, we'll answer the phone. Hi, you're on Free Radio. What's your name, caller?
David. How's it going, Rob?
Hey, this is drummer Dave, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
You know, there's just no stopping you when you call in there, Dave.
Oh, there is no stopping. I'm telling you, I'm just hooked up with you, Rob, and the station.
Well, what happened yesterday at the drum circle? Any report? Is everything? I think you gave us a brief report yesterday on the special show, but I take it all went well there at the Farmer's Market.
Oh, yeah, it was great. A lot of exotic drumming. A lot of people coming by, checking it out. Different riffs every time. It was pretty awesome. Awesome drum circle.
And I
saw you too, Rob, man. You were just cruising through, man. You're a lot younger than you look.
No, actually, I'm a lot older than I look. Well, I don't know. It depends on what you think.
I'm
60 going on 70, so watch out.
You do walk through the park a lot.
Well, I try to. I try to keep my oar in, so to speak, you know.
And your haircut, man, now that's GI issue. I'm telling you.
Especially and gray. There's no question about
that's
that.
That's a GI beard, too. GI beans, GI gravy. Gee, I wished I'd
joined. Long haired GI, I must say. So Dave, anything happening from the streets we should be interested in? You know, anything new out there that I've got a couple of, I'm about to play a couple of, interviews from the street, but have you got stuff you want to pass on?
Oh, just that yesterday was great, no police. Fortunately, I think, maybe they've finally succumbed to the cultural events here in Santa Cruz, and they're just going to let them fly.
I think they were around the corner, actually, at the Calvary Episcopal Church, the Red Church on Center and Lincoln Streets. There were three squad cars and four cops over there around 5 o'clock when I went by there, and they were holding one man in handcuffs, and they had dispersed about 25 people on the lawn. There were only three or four left who were there protesting the police presence, but I guess the drum circle is being left alone, which is good.
Yes, maybe something serious happened at the Calvary Church.
Well, I think I didn't get the whole story. I'm going to play some of it either today or on Sunday. I'm not sure how much time I'll have because I have an interview with Curly Estramiris coming up shortly at 7.
Oh, I'm very interested interested to hear about what happened with him in Oakland there.
Yeah.
With the police on Bart.
Again, I remind people that...
it was the police at the Denny's, right?
Yeah, it was at the Denny's. He was coming back from a protest supporting the those who want to see some changes, and real changes in the Bart police and how they're dealing with people there, and not just, you know, one prosecution for one guy. What about the other four people who held him down? You know, what about the people that essentially covered it up and did nothing for several weeks? You know,
yes,
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on up there.
Wrong thing.
I mean, police almost never get charged when they shoot people or kill people. This is a very rare case. And it only happened because essentially people tore up the town and it was on video. I mean, that's how I analyze it. So.
Yes, and they should have caught on to it very quickly and did something to subvert the situation and make it right for everyone, which they didn't.
Right. Well, that's unfortunately the power structure usually is as it is these days, and that's why people need to present countervailing power to change that. And people like you, Dave, are hope for the future. So get it together and keep getting it together.
Yes, let's keep it going, Rob.
Hey.
Let's keep people in the free speech movement because that's needed.
And drum on, as they say. And remember,
don't sit
down within 14 feet of a building. Watch your step. Protest on April 25th or sooner. We're going to be doing some protests against the downtown ordinances, so stay tuned.
I'll stay tuned. And where would that protest might be taking place?
We're thinking it's going to be on Pacific Avenue. We're thinking it might be a sleep out. It might be a walk around. It might be a lie down. It might
be
a boycott of various businesses. We're not too clear what form it's going to take, but it's forming. So.
All right, it's forming.
May
we all join hands on that day.
All right.
Hey, you take it easy, Rob. And hi, Adrian. Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Uh-oh.
So she'll be meeting you at the drum circle next week.
Uh-oh. Hey, take it easy, you guys.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So you obviously have some suitors already who are checking up on you.
Oh, how cute.
I don't want to get into the details of your sexual preferences at this
Light
time.
On my feet.
Light on your feet. Is there something you any remarks or thoughts you want to pass on at the moment?
Sure, there's no reason for anybody to smell bad.
Certainly not.
You know what I said?
Are you sniffing the air here, Adrian? Is that a hint of some kind?
I was looking over my notes.
Oh, your notes.
And
yes.
I'm trying to break it down into real quick. You know, you could say Mondays you wash your arms, Tuesday you wash your face.
So you're taking quick showers, don't spend a lot of water where you're at.
Come on.
You know, splash your face and move along.
Yeah, nobody.
That sounds like more of a.
Can make it look like. And ladies always have a one of those wash and wear red or black dresses and something that you can step out for an evening. You want to have, you know, there's some clothes that you can just shake them out and there's no wrinkles in them. They're the best. That's the ultimate gypsy lifestyle. It's kind of hard to find things like that.
I'm the height of fashion with my...
Right, you are.
My faded T-shirt.
Quite
and
dapper tonight.
Four-week-old jeans.
Did you take a shower?
I'm not going to even talk about that at this time, but you can use your nose and be the judge. Sometimes, you know, the natural odor.
You looked a little matted when I saw you earlier today.
Oh, yes. Well, it's,
you want to dress up for radio?
No. I tend to undress for radio.
Something about
if I can.
That.
You know,
it's another thing.
Well, you come up with some
news. You have some important things to talk about. You go right ahead. I'm going to
co-host
with you.
You can co-host and interrupt at any time.
I'm going to play co-host
right now.
Try to
keep
the
fondling down, though, Adrian. It's a little embarrassing.
Don't put your hand there.
I'm just ragging her. Yes, don't. All right. So we're going to get back to, here's a few interviews from the street. So we can also, of course, take your interviews. If you've got stuff you want to talk about, please give us a call, 427-3772, anything that's happening on the street. Do you have any advice or reactions to Adrian's advice about how do you most effectively live life as a gypsy when you're staying with folks, and what's the best thing to do? What are some tips for newcomers? Give us a call, 427-3772.
Here we are. It's rain has fallen on a Friday afternoon. It's the 6th of March in front of the Quiznos sub here at Cathcart and Pacific. And we're talking with?
Carrie.
And Dick. And you guys are all huddled up. You got your guitar case behind you, backpacks, blanket. But you look chilly and cold and maybe even wet. And you are coughing. Are you guys sick? What's going on?
I'm kind of sick.
And how about you?
I'm okay.
Any hassles from police, security guards?
Security guards.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, they're just assholes.
Like recently or?
Just now.
What did they tell you?
Police. 14 feet away or something like that.
14 feet away. Well, that would put you right in the middle of that tree over there, planter. Actually, 14 feet. See, 1, 2, 3, 4. It would put you one on the curb, actually. And there is no 14 feet for most of the sidewalk along here. Are you guys new to town? Or?
Yeah.
Where from?
We just traveled from Portland. We're going to L.A.
This is particularly kind of cruel and insensitive, particularly on a rainy day. I mean, I just want people to realize this is in front of Quiznos at Cathcart and Pacific, a couple kind of huddling under an incline. They're not blocking an entrance. It's raining. And they were told by a security guard to go out in the rain and sit on the curb. You know? Thank you very much. Welcome to Santa Cruz.
Welcome.
Yeah.
And a freezing good morning to you.
Thanks.
So this is for Free Radio. I play a lot of interviews for people on the street. Any impressions of Santa Cruz that you want to pass on?
No.
It's just shivering in the cold. All right, we'll see if we can get you a burrito. Talk to you in a bit. We've been talking with?
I forgot your name.
And no, you, not me.
Oh. Carrie.
And
Nick.
Thanks. We have a famous figure here in front of the Del Mar. What's your name, sir?
I don't need to
know that. Oh, I'm sorry. Really? Okay, but you've been hassled. Essentially, the media did a thing on you.
Huh?
The media did a. They put your name, your picture all over the front page.
Yes.
This isn't. Yeah, I probably saw the story, but have you been hassled by police recently?
Think about you. Sorry, but I'm not really in doing an interview right now.
Okay, man. Well, good luck.
I appreciate you.
All right. Well, good luck with.
Interview that's different.
Well, I do a lot of it, so maybe I'll see you later.
All right,
man. So a guy gave a little money to almost anything helps, says the sign, but. As you can hear, not into an interview. So it's about 2:30. I'm on Pacific and Cathcart. Officer Winston and another officer are questioning three people sitting on a bench here in under cold weather. Look a little ill. We'll see what's going on here. Hi. Hey. A series of questions are being asked, which actually they don't have to provide answers to, but I want to. And it looks like tickets or warnings are being written out here on the corner. Officer Winston. And we have two men and a woman sitting here on the corner right across from Quiznos Sub.
You guys have somewhere you can go get out of the rain?
Call you.
Where have you been hanging out,
Connie? And it has been raining on and off all day. It's even kind of vaguely sprinkling now. And, not quite clear. Who knows? So what are you being stopped for?
The contents of that bag, right?
Oh, okay. Officer Winston tells us there's a bag on the sidewalk, which is the focus of this particular incident.
Not going to jail.
Looks like a ticket is being written, though.
But,
for a Trader Joe's bag.
I'm going to have to come back out.
That's good. Officer Winston is candidly telling the three that if they get more calls, they will.
All right, just waiting for the open container.
All right, how's it going here?
The robe, my Joe.
Same old. At least I got a coat on. Looks like Officer Winston is taking off his blue gloves. There's going to be no proctological examination today.
And that's actually what. What it looks like, these are kind of blue surgical gloves that police put on before they handle or touch suspects. We have a caller.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. What's your name, caller? Hello? Turn down your radio. Okay. Call in again if you'd like, or if you want to reach me off air because you don't want to be public, but you have some information you want to pass on, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the off-air number, 423-4833. If you want to be on air, it's 427-3772. Here's some more from the encounter on Pacific Avenue. This is a Pacific and Cathcart. It's about a week ago or so, sort of in the middle of, not quite in the middle of a heavy rainstorm, but on and off rain. Two police officers stopping three people on a bench. They seemed to get a little milder as I watched and asked questions. It might have had something to do with that, or it might have been something, you know, might have been some other considerations involved. The situation, however, shortly heated up thereafter because of other factors, which you will hear.
It's not working.
Yeah.
What you're doing is wrong. For how many years? Stop that.
I think
it's listen, no, what they're doing is fine. They got jobs. It's respectable. You hanging around talking like that.
Now, what we're hearing is the voice of a woman who's, frankly, an archetypal bag lady. She's kind of got a large black bag with her. She's on a cart. And she's actually defending the police. She thinks I'm being critical of them, which I am. I don't think open container tickets are appropriate to give out. And she's critical of me. But first, as always, our phone caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio. What is your name?
Well, it's Melissa, and I'm calling in to find out what the topic's about.
Well, why don't you turn on your radio, Melissa?
Well, I'm sorry. My radio is not working
at
the moment.
Well, I hear you. Okay, well,
I know it's the topic that I'm
interested talking
in.
About. Well, Melissa, we're talking about poor and homeless people, and we're actually talking about an incident where downtown police were stopping three people sitting on a bench with an open container in a brown paper bag.
Mm.
So that's what we're talking about. What's up with you?
Well, I'd like to know, when you have a complaint against the police or law enforcement in general,
right,
and they're not doing, or what you think, that they're not doing the job for you in particular or somebody else, that you feel that they're doing injustice or not performing their civic duties or public assistance or whatever it is. So where do you take it from there?
That's a very good question, and a lot of people, particularly people who have been beaten up by the police, wonder what to do. The best thing you can do, of course, is to get a lawyer and sue the police department for false arrest, physical injury, excessive force. It depends on the nature of what the police are doing wrong. You know, in theory, you can do things like go to the city council and complain. You can call the sergeant of the officer. You can file a complaint. You can write about it. That's what I often suggest people do, is write a story about what happened to you and what happened to this officer, being very specific and about your concern, and let the community know what's happened, because the police are so powerful that it's often very hard to get any real satisfaction. You can in some cases. I mean, I've actually recovered money from the police on rare occasions, but it doesn't usually happen. It takes a lot of time and energy. You have to find attorneys who give a shit, and you have to have, you know, either some money to start with or people are willing to front you money. So it's not an easy road. Sorry about that.
So is there any way, if you don't have the money for the attorney, that you can take care of it yourself?
Well, you can always sue the officer in small claims court if you feel your property has been taken or something has been damaged. If you've lost work time, I mean, and the officer has to show up, you know, but it does cost you $15, I think it is, it might be more, it might be less, to go to small claims court. But, you know, you can, there is a procedure for at least holding the officer accountable in a certain sense, though I'm not aware that judges are particularly, you know, perspicacious or careful or fair where police officers are in question here, but... You know, that's another thing you can do. I think it's a hard road for you, as I said a moment ago, and I'm sympathetic, but that's just the sad story as it comes out to us today. Actually, you'll be hearing more if you get to a radio. You can hear Curly Estramiris at 7 talking about his case where he was, you know, beaten by police. It's a pretty grim story. I appreciate your call, though, Melissa. Anything else?
Well, does that mean that there's really no justice in regards to the law?
That's exactly what it means, Melissa. You hit the nail exactly on the head.
So the only way to perhaps deal with it is to find out the road to take and what direction and how about you walk to it or from it or in it or something.
something.
And then perhaps you don't actually get any satisfaction of feeling of justice served.
Well, keep working on it. You know, I'd say write up your account, and you know, there are some websites like Santa Cruz Indie Media where you can have it posted or get a friend to post it for you. I got to roll on though. Thank you for calling. Phone lines are open, 427-3772, and here's some more of the incident on Pacific Avenue involving an open container and a woman defending the police, and you get to hear me defending myself.
I disagree with you. Right, well, their job is not to harass people, and that's what they're doing.
They're not harassing anybody. They're taking care of
them. Look at the tickets. That's harassment.
What
look
is
at the
going
tickets.
On?
Look at the tickets. Ask them about it.
There's
I'm about
no
to.
Way in the world that you can say it's right.
Well, to do what? To sit on a bench?
I will guard you.
All right, so what did you get tickets for, guys?
We got tickets for...
Got it.
We buy alcohol.
What?
We buy alcohol.
Let me take a look here.
We buy alcohol.
This looks like...
This is
an open container ticket here, actually. So did you all get tickets, or just two of you?
Oh, man, let me see.
And you were told...
We buy alcohol, right? It's like you're buying a Pepsi. You go to the store, you buy it legally.
You work for Mark Crystal.
The federal government blows your shit, Rob.
Well, I'm just trying to determine if you're drunk in public. Are you able to take care of yourself?
Sure. Yes.
Can you walk a straight line?
I can walk anything you want me to.
Well, let's see. Walk a straight line.
I was talking about that you were medical.
Walk a straight line. There you go. What's that?
The people that clean up over here on the street.
Yeah.
Craig Canada was telling me that they called the cops on them.
Yeah, I think they just don't look good on the bench to those folks, and I don't think that's particularly good.
Yeah, well,
I think people should be allowed to sit on a bench. Yeah, I think people should be allowed to sit on a bench.
Well, yeah, and the public is not. Unless they're on
a... All right, well, so what's your name?
My name's Scott, S-C-O-T-T.
Gotcha.
Nicolet, N-I-C-O-L-E-T.
Thank you, Scott. And what is your name?
Adam Erb.
And would you like to be recorded here? Or?
No, I know about you. All you're doing.
Okay. This is actually another homeless woman who actually disagrees with what's going on.
Another situation. I'm aware. Homeless people got fucked with by the police.
Right.
Everyone's all the same. Your ass. You live inside. Talk about homeless.
But you don't want to say who you are. You don't want to say who you are, right? You refuse to say who you are. What's your name? What's your name?
Piece of shit, Mr. Bother.
So she calls herself piece of shit? That's the wrong thing to call herself. I mean, that's strange.
Back off.
All right, so thank you very much. It's our town, lady.
Let me clap my table.
All right. So we'll see you guys later. We'll talk again.
Every time I see you, you got a home.
Well,
you don't know what you like without a room. You leave the police alone.
Easy.
You leave the police alone.
It's okay.
Stop buzzing.
It's okay. It's okay.
It is not okay. Get out of here.
Well, actually, easy, guys. We all got to live here. All right. So
don't
should we take
your
off?
Bag.
Don't forget my bag.
Every time I see you, everywhere you go.
Speak up. Speak into our tape recorder. Come on, don't leave. Say
He's
something.
Rolling anyway.
All right, so what's your name?
Couldn't take.
Okay, thank you. Couldn't take.
Take
care. Right. Take care. Thank you. Thank you.
And some people strongly disagree with what I do on the street in terms of raising issues where police are, I think, giving out harassment citations. And this is one person who felt that way. It creates something of a controversy at times, and it could be emotionally heated, that kind of discussion. But, people are entitled to their opinions, and they got strong opinions on these subjects. Some people feel, you know, they have to support the police, even if the police are engaging whatever they're doing. And that is... a sad form of conditioning our society has done for folks. Although, who knows? I don't really know what the reasons were that this particular person was defending these particular officers. They weren't doing something that was, like, torturously and obscenely evil, but it was a form of harassment. And as such, it was wrong, it was bad, and I wanted to point it out. And I do regularly on this show. It's a little garbled, but it's kind of interesting because you get to hear the controversy. Any comments, Adrian, on this situation? You don't have to say anything.
I didn't know you were going to put me on this.
No, it's okay. You don't have to worry about it. Let's continue and hear the next thing will rouse your interest. Who knows? Also, in about 6 minutes, we're going to have hopefully Curly Estramiris will be coming on and talking about a more serious and brutal police incident that he suffered.
I'm down here on a sunset-y Sunday, Saturday talking with...
Hi, this is Brent Adams.
And Brent, we're, of course, in Woodstock Pizza. It's about 5 after 6, and you've just returned from downtown. Actually, we're both downtown, but you were on Pacific Avenue.
Yeah, I was on Pacific Avenue. I saw a group down there doing an interesting art action.
Oh, ho!
They had three areas with roped-off little stands and pillows and mats and measuring devices, and they were all in black uniforms and clipboards, and they were demonstrating the safe performance areas downtown.
And how did this demonstration work?
Well, at first they would measure with tape measures and a lot of theater to show, you know, exactly where they would be safe.
10 feet from a building for a display device, 14 feet to sitter's spare
chain.
They seemed to
know all of the distances, and it was pretty impressive. And then they set up little areas with these roped off zones with little mats, and then they would put somebody in a street performer in there, and then they were talking to lots of people. They were doing a lot of PR. It was pretty cool.
Did the police come up and observe?
No, I didn't see any cops today.
And where exactly was this all happening?
It was in front of roughly and near the coffee roasting, and also in front of Borders.
And how many people were involved?
It looked to be maybe 10 total.
Wow. And this was recently.
Yeah, it's happening. I think it's happening right now, actually.
Wow.
Let's go down there.
I think we better adjourn the game. We're gonna quit our game of Star Piece. So the Dream Team is down on Pacific Avenue. I see the here's a criminal who's about to risk an arrest. She wants a picture taken of her. I'll take a picture. The Pendulum here by A. Vander Klakove of Watsonville.
It's called Performance Art, and I defend it.
Is in front of the Vida Lounge, also near Pacific Trading Company. Mm-hmm. And we have Coral here who's attempting to get a picture of her. Why don't you? You're the electronic genius. Take a picture of her. Rick here will take a picture of Coral, who will be seen pushing the pendulum, perhaps. So here she goes, stepping into the forbidden zone.
Okay.
And he's about to push the pendulum. There we go. So it's an interesting criminal pendulum pusher. Somebody call the police immediately. This is really shocking. I mean, this...
Getting banged.
And Coral is pushing the pendulum.
And what's happening here, of course, is there's a large piece of sort of street art that is downtown. It's set up in front of the Pacific Trading Company, La Vita, Rosie McCann's area on the sidewalk, actually in the kind of the planter area. And it's a large brown pendulum. I don't know, 6-8 feet high, pretty high pendulum, which swings as a pendulum should. And we've actually talked on the air to Lather and Alice, a couple who, Lather pushed the pendulum after he saw a number of other folks pushing it, middle-class folks. Lather's a homeless guy who lives in his van. And the police chose to give him a citation for pushing the pendulum, which we thought was a pretty blatant example of selective enforcement. Police going after a person because of their dress or economic status, while ignoring another group doing exactly the same behavior. So the idea that there's a behavioral problem downtown, which is the constant excuse used by merchants to justify these new downtown forbidden zone ordinances, which severely restrict sitting, spare changing, street performing, and tabling, is so much hogwash. And what's really happening is police are given more license to go after people that they think don't belong or that they want to question or that they feel need to be talked to. And, you know, I mean, if a person is engaging in illegal behavior, and we're talking about behavior that is illegal because it actually involves a violation of somebody's rights, injures somebody, steals their property. Not because it's been made criminal by merchants who want to give the police open season to selectively go after a few people that they decide they want to go after and to ignore the rest. Then, if it's real bad behavior, then sure, I think that's appropriate that police and citizens should, you know, raise the alarm about it. But pushing a pendulum that doesn't have a do not push sign, that is a piece of street architecture downtown, and that other people push regularly, is not bad behavior. What's bad behavior is police harassing others for doing that. And that's what we're talking about here. And what's happening is that one member of our group is going up there, pushing the pendulum, and getting a photograph to show that she has pushed the pendulum. So it's a form of solidarity with those who have been hassled for doing this.
And pushing the envelope, too. And up here we have the music of Michael. Cymbalon, a large hammered dulcimer, a Michael Maisley. There's chalk on the sidewalk here at Soquel and Pacific. Banks get bailouts. Why can't we ask for money, too? This seems to be some arrogant panhandler. Here's another chalked statement. Legal, how would you read that? Legal commerce. Legal commerce zone, it says. That's interesting.
Okay.
More chalking up here. Wow. I think we better ask Marilyn, but it looks like Marilyn's gone home. We can't really get any word from her at Alfresco's, but there's people have been chalking here.
You're going to a meeting.
Is that what it says?
Being homeless is not a crime.
And being homeless is not a crime has been chalked directly in front of New Leaf. Let's see if these individuals know anything else. Guys, did anybody see what happened with the chalking and the, was there kind of a protest?
I just got here, Doug. I don't know.
Oh, well, that makes two of us. So.
I don't know. I was saying that's just...
Okay.
What happened?
Oh, it was some kind of a protest about the ordinances, the laws.
Oh,
downtown.
Good. There should be a protest.
Right there.
Here, I'll tell you. Do you want me to speak?
What's your name?
My name is Shay Gonzalez.
Shay, go ahead.
I think that the ordinances are complete bullshit, excuse my French, and I think that they should not be that way. And yeah, it's because of some bums and transients that come and aggressively panhandle and aggressively scare away the customers, but they should not, like, be about everyone else, just the regular civilization people like me that live in houses and stuff. I just think it's completely ridiculous, and they should leave the homeless people who are not aggressively panhandling alone. And at that, I do have a house, and I'm not homeless, but, you know, it's like the aggressive people that they need to worry about, not just the normal people that just want to sit on the ground. You know what I mean?
How do you spell it?
S-H-A-Y.
S-H-A-Y.
And also they're trying to make cigarette smoking illegal down here is what I heard. And I just think, once again, that's complete bullshit, you know? That's just crazy. Like, I just really think, like, I like to go to the roaster and have a cup of coffee and drink and, you know, and, like, smoke a cigarette. And I can't, Josh, and I can't do that, you know? Like, if they make that rule. I just think it's absolute bullshit. They should be targeting the aggressive panhandlers.
I have a question for you.
What's that?
Would you be willing, you and your friends be willing to participate in a march at the end of April to protest the downtown ordinances?
Yes, I would.
Okay, will you be here?
Yeah, what day?
Will you give me April 25th, Saturday, at noon? And what we're going to do is try and get 50 to 100 people to just walk with us.
I will get you more than that.
Okay. Can I have some contact information for you?
Yeah.
Either email or phone number?
588.
Have you seen cops doing anything in the last couple of weeks that you haven't liked?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you what happened Saturday, okay? I was walking with my friend to go get a...
Today is...
Oh, this is last week, Saturday.
Uh-huh.
I was walking with my friend to go get a pack of cigarettes. So we're on Laurel Street. It's about 10:15 at night. A cop passes us and immediately pulls in front of us, gets out of the car, and immediately sticks his hand in my back pocket and says, "What'd you just put in your pocket?" And I said, "What?" He's like, "I just saw your friend put something in your back pocket." And I'm like, "Whoa, what the hell?" And my homie tries to stick up for me. He throws my friend against a pole, like face first, handcuffs him, throws him on the ground, searches his shit, and arrested him because I guess he did just buy heroin, but still he had no right to do that. And then after he put his hand in my back pocket, he, like, patted down the front of me. And, you know, I've been searched by cops plenty of times, and they are not allowed to do that.
Do you know the name of the officer?
Yes, the officer's name is C. Jones.
C. Jones. And was he alone, or was there another officer with him?
He was alone. And then after I was getting released, because I didn't have anything on me, two undercovers walked up and said that, yeah, he just did a drug deal, whatever, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, and your friend is still in jail?
My friend recently got out, and he's going to rehab.
And would he be willing to testify on your behalf?
Yes, he will. I'm sure he will.
Okay, because, you know, I do a radio show. That, in fact, this is for the radio. I hope you don't mind if we play
this. Oh, yeah. Let me know when it's airing.
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 9:30 in the morning. In fact, if you want to be on the air, you're welcome to... to come and be, we call in, you can come in, you know, if you're interested in, unless this is your entire story. If there's more, if you've seen more, if you've got friends who want to talk about their stories.
Oh, I've seen plenty more about how cops handle people down here, and it's absolutely ridiculous. They'll just manhandle people for no reason and just harass people because they have nothing else better to do, huh?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You're pointing to a man over. What's your name, sir?
Malachi.
And Malachi, you see, you've had some experiences with police that are perhaps not the best.
Any kind of, I'm sort of a stereotype, you know, young man.
With dark glasses.
Yeah. So a cop will look at me and just think that for no, like, they don't really have any proof that
and
I'm
and a hoodie.
It. Yeah. I have to admit, I do look a little suspicious, but it's no reason for someone just to go through your pockets without even asking you.
Did that happen to you?
It's happened several times.
And when's the last time it happened?
About a week ago.
And describe the circumstances.
In Ben Lomond, I was just at the park, and I wasn't smoking a cigarette, but one of my friends was, and he started going through his pockets. And immediately after he found his cigarettes, started going through mine, and he didn't even ask me permission or ask me my name.
Kyle!
And the name of was it a sheriff or a...
Yeah, it was a sheriff up in the Santa Cruz Mountains up in Ben Lomond.
Okay, well, you know, as I was telling your friend...
Shay. Yeah.
I do a radio show twice a week. I'll give you my card here. And I'll be playing this on the air.
Thank you.
Again, encouraging people, you know, to stand up against this kind of stuff when it happens.
Yeah.
There you go. And if you want to... Well, if you have other incidents that come up or you know people having problems, give a call to either the on-air number during the show times, which is Sunday from 9:30 to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and Thursday evening, 6 to 8, or you can call the off-air number, 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, anytime Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome.
Appreciate people like you that actually care about these things, because you see it going on, but no one doing much about it. You know?
And again, your name is?
Malachi.
Thank you, Malachi.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
You see him?
We're talking with the individuals who have left Pacific Avenue but are temporarily here at Lincoln and Pacific. Your name, madam?
Sam.
And, of course,
Fish.
And Fish and Sam, you're no longer hanging out on Pacific. Is this because you found more comfortable climbs?
Yes, but I don't feel like disclosing when.
But why aren't you on Pacific?
Because of the fascist mentality that the police have around here. They use intimidation tactics, and it's just kind of stupid.
Give us an example of what that would be.
Well, okay, last night I was, I come down here in the evening usually because it's a little easier to deal with.
We are now, it's about 6:30.
And I was chilling over there by those planter boxes across from the New Leaf outside dining area. And cops came by and told us we couldn't stand there. So I'm standing where I am now, I moved to this area where I'm now, and they didn't do anything. They just stood there for a little while, watched us smoke cigarettes, and then walked away. They just tried to intimidate
us. You're allowed to stand there. Were you seated?
They said we had to find somewhere else to go hang out. So we stood right over here, and we wanted to see if this was, you know, a good enough place to them anyway.
So they exerted their authority, got you to move, were satisfied that you had followed the orders, and they moved on.
It was like 15 feet over to here.
Right.
Come on.
Well, what's the beef? They're letting you stay over here. What do you want, a special medal or what?
They try to refer to this as the gauntlet because it gets congested with people.
Was it congested when you were there?
Mm-hmm. Everybody was lined up against the side there on the planter box.
How many of you were there?
I'd say about 7, 8.
Was anybody seated?
Yes.
Were you seated?
No.
Were you told individually to move?
Yes. Not individually. It was a broad statement to everybody. If there's any stragglers that came up and approached them and told them to leave as well.
Was it a request or a demand?
You guys need to find somewhere else to hang out was the exact words. And to keep moving, come on, was the follow-up to it.
And how many police officers were involved?
Two.
The names?
I don't know. Do you remember the cops that were around last night?
Ms. Winston or something, and some other guy.
Winston and his partner.
Yeah, I don't know who the other guy was. It was Winston, some other guy. I can't remember the other one.
Fair enough. Well, I hope you learned a good lesson from that, Sam.
Yes, to move 15 feet.
There you go. Thank you very much, and smoke on, as they say. But remember, it can
there
cause...
They're legalizing this, I hear.
There has been rumors that, but I don't know if it's on the agenda or not. I've got to check the agenda.
Often interview question. When are
Sam, you have a question for all those eagle-eared lawyers out there, and possibly for Mayor Matthews herself. What is that question?
Yes, if the law applies retroactively to past infractions that have built up over a period of time, are they going to just pull the claim away from the collections system or agency?
I think you're thinking that the law says that after March 12th or so, if you get three infractions, you do not answer in court, that becomes a misdemeanor charge, which you can be jailed and fined. Jail for up to 6 months, fined up to $500,000. And you're wondering if that applies to infractions before March 10th.
Yes, before March 10th. Like if someone has 11 infractions before March 10th that they've let build up, are they going to pull those back from the collection agencies?
They're finally going to catch up with you, Sam.
One infraction, one.
All right, we're going to have to be amazing.
One, just one.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on you anyway. And where's my hug? So it's about 5 after 7. Security guard has just told the individual to leave in a backpack, asking him if he was catching a bus.
This is an encounter at the Metro, which is particularly a sensitive area for me. In fact, I'm going to court in the next couple weeks to deal with a citation from the police department for refusing to leave the Metro area when told to do so. Because I essentially said, no, as a public area, I'm not going to leave unless you accuse me of some kind of criminal behavior and you want to arrest me. Well, they threatened to arrest me anyway. It was a Sunday. Rather than get arrested, go to jail, possibly, if I found the attorney, get a false arrest lawsuit going, I left and said I would come back. And I returned about a week and a half, 2 weeks later with a bunch of other people, video cameras, tape recorders. I played this on free radio. And we distributed leaflets and so forth and reclaimed the Metro, doing essentially what I was doing. And they, of course, ignored us completely because they didn't want to be videotaped engaging in such obvious constitutional violations of people's rights. But I still face this ticket I'm going to have to go to court on. So here I was at the Metro again. I saw this hippie-ish fellow with a backpack, kind of bearded and looked like he was a traveler and so forth, being told by the Metro security guard to leave and kind of in a sort of an intimidating fashion escorting him off the property after having come across him in the bathroom. So I went up to the Metro guard to talk to him about this, that the Metro guard, not the the individual who was told to leave. Normally I would go after the individual, but I wanted to see what the Metro guard had to say, and this is what happened.
And then escorting him off the property. But ask him. So how's it going?
Pretty good.
A problem with a guy in the bathroom, or problem with a?
Well, I asked him to take all his crap out of there. He had four guys lined up. They want to take a leak, or well, the guy's taking a leak because urinal. But a couple guys wanted to use the regular toilet.
Right.
Okay, man, get your stuff out of there. Put it over. If you got to clean up, don't put your stuff over there. People have to use the bathroom. Put it by the door. Clean up in the faucet.
That sounds reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Well, then he gave me some attitude. We weren't communicating. So I just said, all right, you want to be that way? Why don't you just get your shit and get out there? Unless you're catching a bus, you got no business here.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, but I came on peacefully. So, hey, stuff by the door, clean up. Yeah, I've been in the past. I've had to clean up in bathrooms, so I know what it's like. Not a problem there, but yeah.
And just quick commentary, because this interview is a bit longer. When a person in a uniform comes and directs you to do something, it can feel intimidating and humiliating and also inappropriate, particularly because your immediate reaction is to obey because you don't want to get into trouble, and your secondary reaction may be to feel that you're being bullied and pushed around and to actually resent your own tendency to want to respond in an obedient way. But I think we have an incoming call here which we may have to deal with. In fact, we do. Hi, you're on free radio.
Yes.
This is Curly Estramera.
Hey, Curly. I'm glad you called in. In the studio with me is Adrian Stone, who's my co-host. Adrian, say hello to Curly. Curly, say hello to Adrian.
Hi, Curly.
Say hello. I'm sorry, say that again. Your mic's on now.
Good evening, Curly.
Good evening.
And, Curly, we've mentioned before that you got literally the third degree from the police after being stopped in Hayward at a Denny's after coming back from a protest supporting the, I don't know, the survivors of January 1st after Oscar Grant got shot dead.
Yes.
And this whole story that you've, at least some of the story that you've told, you've posted already on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. It's called Police Torture Activist and Poet Raul Curly Estramera. For those who want to kind of read at the same time, they can go to that website. That's, again, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. I guess it's also on indiebay.org/East Bay, probably, right? I don't know. That's what I suspect it also is. Anyway, Curly, welcome to Free Radio.
Thank you very much, Robert. I remember working with you for many years in Santa Cruz on the many issues that were facing the communities and the people there.
Oh, well, that's... I'm not sure how successful we were, but, yeah, I've been doing this for quite a while, and so have you, you know.
Well, you're to be commendated because you stuck the ground, so...
Well, either that or I haven't found anything better to do. I suppose that's... but, you know, you try to make some use of your time while you're around, but apparently you want to... I think you... What do you feel like doing? Those who've just tuned in may not know the story, though a number of people may have already read it, and you have talked about it a little bit on the air. How would you like to go about this?
Well, basically, I just took my medication because, as you know, I have an illness called Meniere's syndrome. And probably the best way to proceed is if you ask me some questions, you may also give an update on what I did send to eBay. And that would help me along.
Okay, well, why don't we do that? What we got here is I'm looking at the website. There's a picture of you. You're looking jovial and with your goatee and your glasses there.
Mm-hmm.
You describe how you were coming back from a protest. You'd been left off at Denny's. Kind of to wait for the kind of the other protesters to catch up with you, and police apparently thinking we don't know if they were following you from the protest or they had some problem of why did the police originally contact you in Denny's and Hayward?
Well, I think I should clarify that. At the time that I did write the detailed description of what happened, we had not yet gotten the police report, which is kind of normal. You know, they refuse to give you the police report no matter what you try to do, unless you get a paid legal stooge, and then they'll answer to them.
By paid legal stooge, of course, you mean attorney, right?
Any attorney, you know, anyone, having been certified by the bar. And I don't mean to speak badly about attorneys, but I'm saying this is the system. This is how they go about it.
Right.
And so later on we learned why I did get stopped, but it had to do with some so-called citizen. I don't believe that he was a citizen because of the make and type of car that he had. I actually believe he's from the San Leandro Police Department. But nevertheless, you know, we had reached Hayward in the sense that I had asked the drivers to please stop and let me take my medication and my evening meal, which is supposed to be taken at the same time daily. So when we did get there, according to the police report, as we were actually trying to reach a Denny's or any of the other restaurants that stay open late, we would keep stopping and looking and then moving along and then stopping and moving along. And this caused whoever the citizen is to say or think, well, this person's drunk. So they call 911, and we weren't really aware of it. You know, I know that he pulled over to the side of us and asked us where we were going. We said, well, we're going on the freeway, and then we dismissed him. And we continued, and we pound of Denny's and we park in front of it.
So this was a police officer who pulled you over originally?
No. I'm saying that this is supposed to be a citizen who supposedly saw us stopping and moving. What he didn't know, of course, we were looking for a restaurant and a place for me to eat. But, you know, that's just the way it is. Anyway.
Now, you're a person of Latino extraction, right?
Well, I was born in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rican extraction.
Yes, well.
And what about the guys in the car with you? The reason
I don't relate to the word extraction. We are a colony of the United States. I was born in Puerto Rico.
Well put.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is your skin color is noticeably darker than...
Supposedly they were stopping on Chicano.
Well, that's it. What I'm wondering is whether that... I mean, that's, of course, a scandal in San Jose, not to mention most everywhere else. But what about other people? Who was driving the vehicle? Was the driver a certified Aryan white driver, or did you have...
No, he was a Chicano from one of the Chicano groups in San Jose, known as the Black Berets.
Oh, so there you are. You see, you're choosing bad company.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. When we look at Mr. Arpaio right now being investigated for, you know, racial profiling, we could see what's going on in the nation. But, yeah, generally that's what happened. They saw a Latino driving a car, stopping and going. You know, they didn't know he was looking for a place to eat. But, you know, this is their MO. Anything they could do to stop a Chicano or a so-called immigrant, this is what their present motive is, definitely stop them and do whatever they can do.
So apparently once you'd stopped at Denny's, you were there for a while, or the police immediately showed up?
No. I actually went up. This is what's strange. I actually went up to Denny's. I had a cane because I walk with a cane in order to keep balance.
Uh-huh.
So I walked up and went in and went to the bathroom. I have mentioned to you that I am a Muslim in religious beliefs, and I went and did what we call voodoo, not voodoo. And what I did was basically wash my face, wash my hands, wash my nostrils, and pass water over my hair, which is supposed to be a kind of a ritual that we do before we sit down and eat, and also to cleanse ourselves. And when I came out of there, I stood on the line for actually something like 5 minutes, and then from there, I had been served a little tiny chicken sandwich because I can't eat a whole lot of salt. And then I actually sat down. The police had already come in once. They looked in through the bathrooms. They looked at the garbage cans. They went back out, and as more policemen showed up, they figured they'd all come in, so they sent another crew in. And then they didn't know, I don't really think they knew who the hell they were looking for, or whatever the reason was. But then I stood out amongst the crowd.
How many people were in the restaurant?
I had a kefir around my neck.
How many people were in the restaurant, Curly?
There were approximately, I think, 12 people, approximately.
Now, were most of them white, most of them Latino?
In Hayward, I have to say that they were mostly white.
So you stood out like a sore thumb.
Oh, yes, because the first cops came in and they couldn't identify me in accordance with what the so-called citizen explained to them. And so when they came in, they went through the whole restaurant. They went back outside and said, well, you know, we don't see anybody like who you say.
Well, you actually hadn't been driving the car. You were a passenger in the
car.
No,
I was a passenger. Yes, I was.
So apparently the citizen was looking for the sinister Chicano Black Beret driver?
Yes, this is why I think that, you know, the person who supposedly, and we'll know on the 13th when I go to court, who supposedly is an innocent bystander, so-called citizen, is probably a member of the San Leandro Police Department or a guard in the jail there, because this is their MO, you know, to do racial profiling, whether they are on duty or whether they are not.
And how many police were involved in this this incident at Denny's? How many people police came in and out?
There were two police cars who arrived. Now, based on the police report, which is what I'm saying that we received later,
right,
which revealed a lot of the crap that we now understand, two police officers in a cruiser came at first, and then they went inside. They actually spoke with the person who called them and said, well, I suspect there's a drunk driver driving around, and he's going from lane to lane and whatever. Anyway, the first ones came into the bathroom. They also looked in the garbage cans, which made me suspicious because, you know, they have this anti-terrorist thing which they utilize to a T, because I did have a kafir, you know, Palestinian-type kafir.
Mm-hmm. That's a hood, right?
Yes. It's actually a sarat that you put around your neck.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me that these guys are looking for something, you know.
So what was the next thing that happened, Curly?
Well, the next thing that happened was that a second cruiser came. And the second cruisers looked around, and they only saw me, as opposed to the population of Caucasians that were, predominantly Caucasians that were in the restaurant, because there were also Chicano workers that were there.
We have a caller who's calling in, Curly. Should we interrupt this to see what question he might
have? Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, let's see if they're even aware of what we're talking about. But
okay.
Hi, you're on Free Radio with Adrian Curly and Robert.
Okay, Robert, what's going on? I'm listening to this, and I'm sorry, my voice is still fucked up, but, okay, is this guy getting to a point, did I miss something, or is, what's this guy referring to?
He's talking about being beaten up by the police and harassed at the hospital. It's taken a while to get to the story. We're going a little slow.
The racial profiling, were there, like, minorities arrested as a result of it, or something?
He was initially arrested and then abused, and then he's going to court on March 13th, I believe. Is it March 13th,
okay.
Curly?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just some blank spots, and I was trying to get those filled in.
No problem.
I'm going to go ahead and continue to listen. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you. Okay, so Curly, it should also be noted that your driver was not with you. He'd gone back up to Oakland or...
Oh, yes, because reportedly... You know, the so-called protest, march and rally, was now becoming heated because the police had showed up in full riot gear. And as you know, sometimes they could get a little hairy when they start harassing
the people that are there in order to do a peaceful march. This was a protest.
We got a phone call, and we were told, heck, you guys got to come back here. So I told them, hey, just drop me off at the nearest Denny's or Wendy's. And I'll sit there and I'll wait for you
guys.
Right,
so you were, my point, Curly, my point is, this is more information than I need. You were alone in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
So the police, you know, came in, and then finally, and then what happened next?
Well, then they came up to me, stepped up to me, and said, we'd like to speak to you outside. And I said, no, I'm eating a chicken sandwich. I'm sitting here eating. Could you wait? And they said, oh, no, we need to speak to you right now.
Well, the answer is, am I under arrest, or am I free to eat my chicken sandwich? I guess when they said that, you assumed you were under arrest? Is that the idea?
No. I had never assumed that I was under arrest. In fact, I was never arrested, which makes the case for racial profiling even heavier.
Well, why would you? See, this, we always advise people in Santa Cruz, if you're not being arrested or detained, if you're free to go, that you just don't talk to the police. You say, unless you have some other good reason to.
Well, you're right, and I'm very conscious of that. But when I went outside, my interest in going outside was to find out what the hell was going on. What is it that you want?
But what about your chicken sandwich?
Oh, I never got to take a bite
of it. Well, there you are. All right,
actually, what I did was sip some of my drink and took all my medications. That's what I did.
So you took your medication, you went outside, and you dealt with how many cops?
Well, they kept enlarging, if you know what I mean. I mean, there were only four when I got outside, and then a few minutes later, there were like eight of them, you know?
Well, you were pretty much...
Three or four cruisers,
well,
and
you
I'm
were,
like, what the hell is
you were a
on?
Menace in your kafir ride. You were a pretty serious threat. You had your cane. You could have done anything. I mean, what are eight guns against one cane, right?
Well, I think what they did was call the truck in, you know, the license plates, and then it seems like they received my history, you know.
And tell us a bit about your history.
Well, my history has been to always work against police brutality and police murder. And so, you know, quite a few times they've stopped me, they harass me, and then they also put into their records, you know, what I do, where I'm at. When sometimes I go to court for people like that, like I did for Steve Argue and many of the people that were victims of police brutality in Santa Cruz. Uh-huh. And, you know, so they have records of that. They pull out, that's not all. They
have you been convicted? Records, have you been convicted of murder, rape, assault? What's your history? Give us the facts.
Oh, my history is from New York. When I grew up, I got my political education in the Black Panther Party.
Okay.
And later on, when the police began to actually attack the Black Panther Party, you know, they killed many Panthers in the East Coast, the Panthers were forced to go on the ground.
Right.
Then they had asked me if I would go with them, and I said, definitely, you know, because we have to do what we have to do sometimes. At that time, it was different than it is now. So I want the viewers to the listeners to understand that things were very different in 1969, 1968, and 70. You know, we were actually facing a whole-scale attack in the black and brown communities. So it isn't like it is today where they do racial profiling. And sometimes they kill, actually they murder a whole lot of us. But in those days, it was kind of wholesale murder if you belong to an organization.
Although, of course, now they have the Iraqi-Afghani war instead of the Vietnam War. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went, you know, originally I was actually arraigned for not going to the war, for refusing to go to Vietnam. And I stood in front of the judge and told him, I'm not going to go to war, just like Muhammad Ali, to fight people that look like you, when they actually look like me.
Well, you know, we should be pleased that pleased that Cheney's assassination squad didn't catch up with you.
Well, they tried, I guarantee you, because I was on the ground in Canada for approximately 2 years.
It probably wasn't Cheney's assassination squad, since Cheney.
Oh no, no, no!
Cheney
no,
didn't
at that
come
time
until 30
Reagan
years later,
squad.
Really. Although he was around.
I was on the ground in Canada for a while,
right.
You know, trying to get to other countries, mainly Sweden and some of the other neutral countries. We weren't really positively radical.
So
but
were you convicted of any felonies or misdemeanors that required 8 police officers to subdue you or?
Well, Robert, I have to tell you, and I have to be honest with you, I was actually brought back from Canada wearing almost 20 pounds of chains, and I was put through a quickie trial. I was given a 17-year sentence, and hence, I was a political prisoner. When I got out almost 7 years later, I was put in what they call the ADEX file, which is the equivalent of Bush's little anti-terrorist trial, anti-terrorist list.
So we're talking with a known. Wait a
history.
Minute, we're talking with a known terrorist, eh?
Well, we didn't call it terrorist because terrorism because one's freedom fighter is someone else's terrorist.
Hear, hear. Well, it sounds like. But you were put on this list, but were you convicted of, you know, dynamiting buildings?
Oh no.
Shooting
no,
public
just
officials?
Actually, they tried to get me for quite a few things, including not going to the Vietnam War. But the only thing that they could get me for was supposedly for a bank robbery.
Oh, ho. So you are a convicted bank robber.
Oh, yes, with the Black Liberation Army.
And did you do it? Did you rob the bank?
Oh, yes, we did. Because we were members of the Black Liberation Army, which is an offshoot of the Black Panther Party at that particular time. And when the U.S. CIA began to push all the dope into the black and brown communities, we had to do what we could to resist. And in order for us to help the political prisoners, to actually buy typewriters and do whatever we could for political prisoners that were in prison as a result of the attacks on the Black Panther Party and other organizations, including the Young Patriots, who were mainly white, the Chicanos, you know, we did what we could in order to raise funds, and the only way that we've seen were to directly attack the government through their banks and through their financial institutions. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't consider myself a criminal. I never did. I never will consider myself a criminal. We did what we did in order to try and help and free political prisoners. This was my commitment at that particular time.
So you were convicted of bank robbery after a trial, or there was a plea bargain, or what was the deal?
No. I was convicted. I did not ever plead to any of that. No. I was convicted.
And what bank suffered your depredations?
Excuse me?
What bank did you make your withdrawal from?
It was a bank in South Bronx.
This was back in New York. Though.
New York, Brooklyn, New York. Yes.
So they have this record.
Queens,
of
New York.
So could this be why they had 8 cops coming after you in Hayward? Because
definitely, this is my point.
But this was back
while I'm working in San Jose, and while I'm working wherever, sometimes in Santa Cruz, sometimes in Oakland, wherever. If they pull my car over, the ADEX file, and you have to understand about the ADEX files of that time. You know, it's almost like the anti-terrorist files of this time, the present time. And what comes up on the police scanners is that you are a threat to police brutality, to any type of authority, you know. And that's not what I was, and that's not what I am about.
We're talking about things that happened 30, 40 years ago.
A long, long time ago.
And you are now, you're in your 60s?
I'm now 62 years old, yeah.
And you have a cane and you have an illness that is, causes you to be unsteady on your feet.
That's right.
And so outside Denny's about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you were called outside because some guy complained that your driver of your car was driving erratically.
Erratically, yeah.
And then maybe you also could be a terrorist because of your outfit, because, you know, you obviously you're wearing an outfit, so you'll be noticed as a terrorist, right? I mean,
that's true.
Trying to get a little attention there from the police.
Mm-hmm.
And then they draw you aside, and they began questioning you. What kind of questions did they ask you?
Well, some of the questions were, are you from Hayward? And I'm like, no, I'm just stopping here to eat a sandwich. Who's driving the truck? And I'm like, I'm not at liberty to discuss that, you know. Are you stopping me because I'm eating here? What's the problem? And they never answered me. Like they never do.
Did you ask, at some point did you say, as I would advise anybody else, say, well, thank you, officer, it's been fun talking, I'm going to go eat?
No, actually, in the beginning I told them I like to finish my chicken sandwich. And they said, no, we need to talk to you outside right now.
At which point the appropriate thing to say is, you know, officer, if you want to arrest me, you can, but I have nothing to say to you. I'm trying to eat a sandwich. If you're going to arrest me, let's know what the charge is.
Well, I didn't want to cause a confrontation.
I see.
Because we were in a public place. One of the problems that many of us as activists have to be worried about, and that's only in the later years, you know, having to do with the Bush administration, is standing up and declaring who the hell you are and what you're doing here. I'm eating a simple sandwich. What's your problem? You know, we have to be very careful because at this particular time, we can be tagged as terrorists. And if we just wear a kafir, if we just wear anything,
I understand that
symbolizes
Curly, I understand
a terrorist
that.
Organization. This
Curly,
is what they do to us.
I understand that, but it seems to me that whatever you're wearing, a police officer wants to. You're safer inside a restaurant with about 15 witnesses than you are on the street with 7 other cops standing around you. I mean, in other words, it seems to me that I might do exactly what you did, as far as I know, but I might well turn to the cops and say, you know, I have nothing to say to you at this time. I'm trying to eat. I'm not aware I've broken any laws. If you got a problem, you know, maybe your sergeant can come in or we can talk to him. But I'd be happy. I'm happy where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
I understand what you're saying, but keep in mind that I'm a person who's eating a sandwich. I'm not aware that some citizen thought that I was driving erratically. I'm not aware that the police are there for any other reason other than to ask me, what am I doing there?
But they have no right to do that. You know that. I mean, even they know they don't.
I do know that. But the problem is that...
Why go along with it is what I'm saying. Why not simply say, look, officer, if you want to arrest me... I mean, I guess the answer you're saying to me is because who wants to fucking go through the bullshit of an arrest if you can maybe talk them out of it?
Well, it isn't just that. Yeah. It's bullshit in a strange land. You're in a one-horse town,
right,
which is predominantly white, which you know if you're going to be get taken downtown, you're going to be put through the mill. They're going to do whatever they did, which is what they did.
Right.
And you, as a seasoned activist, know this. So you say, okay, what is it that you want? You walk outside and you stand there and say, hell, I got a cane. I'm an old man. What is it that you want from me?
You're thinking that they might act reasonably. Oh, ho, little did you know.
Hope that they act reasonably. Yeah, reasonably.
So we're talking with Hurley Estramiris about an incident. We're kind of using the slow breath-by-breath approach to it. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, I think, as we go. If anybody wants to call in and ask Hurley any questions or make any comments as we go, the phone number to call is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. You're listening to Free Radio, 101.1 FM Freak Radio. And for more about Curley's case, if you want to skip ahead to find out what actually happened, we may not get to the end of this by the end of the show. We only have about 15 minutes left in the show, 20 minutes. You can go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. So that's Santa Cruz Indie Media. And look at the story for Curley Estramiris, or Raul Estramiris, who is also a poet. Any poetry on you at the present time, Curley?
Oh, I do, but I have quite a bit of poetry.
Have you written anything about this
for
incident?
Almost 10 years. But I don't think I could call in on Sunday and provide some of that.
That sounds
but
good.
But right now,
yeah, let's
you
go
know,
back to
right
it.
Now I'm trying to actually discuss with you some of the things that are on the ground. You know, I remember Steve argued when he was faced with the reality of actually standing up and stopping the police from torturing this woman who's holding a child. And I don't know if he, like me, was a student of Malcolm X when Malcolm X had said, you know, I've seen a horrible thing happening down south with all these racist rednecks are standing up and beating up a woman. They were grown men standing around doing nothing. So when Steve argued, did the only thing, the only human thing that he could do, you know, stood up and actually punched that officer in the nose in order to let the woman go and the child. Sometimes we are faced with these realities.
For
sure.
Now, you're talking about the 1999 incident in May where there was a protest at the McPherson Center against the bombing of Yugoslavia. They arrested a woman who was actually innocent, and a bunch of other people surrounded for having a loudspeaker outside the there was a politician inside that we were trying to criticize. Representative Sam Farr was unfortunately
Sam Farr.
He's still our representative.
I remember the whole thing.
And, yeah, I remember it. And I'm just kind of briefing the audience kind of quickly on what this was.
That's fine.
And you know, and there was one of the women who stood around the car to block the squad car from leaving with the innocent woman. Was a woman named Juliana and her child, and Officer David Lefebvre stepped up to, you know, began twisting her arm.
Who was ultimately thrown out of the police department.
He was ultimately transferred to...
rejects are taken into Oakland. So.
Right. Well, I think he was taken into Fremont or something. I'm not sure what it was. Or
no different.
Or Mountain
Fremont,
View or some
Oakland,
such thing.
San Jose, well,
actually, he actually,
reject.
He actually pulled me over some years later to say hello. you know, David Lefebvre was the officer who tried to put this woman in kind of in a pain compliance hold, and Steve argued in order to stop the pain compliance hold, punched Lefebvre, and and Lefebvre then...
what could he do when
then,
you're torturing a woman who's
right,
holding a child?
And then,
what is it that you are going to do? You are going to make a decision. On the ground.
Yeah.
This is what I'm.
Let me run through
about,
the rest of it
know?
Though. That Lefebvre then attempted to actually lethally spray Steve.
Within
2 inches
directly in the mouth, which was illegally.
Which using pepper spray, and actually in subsequent, the only independent investigation ever done by our police review board before it was shut down by the city council in 2003. Found that Lefebvre was guilty of excessive force. Our police chief at the time, Steve Belcher, that's his real name, refused to find that was the case. But the police, but the independent investigator did. And as you said, Lefebvre was ultimately let go from the force. Argue served about 8 or 9 months in jail. And he's now, he's still in town. He's still an activist. He ran for city council in 2002. And he actually helped circulate your case and the, what went down with your situation recently. But getting back to Denny's, you were outside Denny's, and you, the cops began grilling you, you know, why, blah, blah, blah. So then what happened?
Well, you have to remember that when you know your rights, you tell them, I don't want to discuss this. I have nothing to say.
Right.
This is it. This is where it ends. I have nothing to say. If you are going to arrest me, then arrest me. And, you know, you must realize that's the reason why I was talking about Steve Argue, where you have to make a decision about things. You know, what they decided was, well, this guy's being belligerent. In two or three places they pointed out in the police report, you know, well, this guy's being belligerent. There's something I've learned in working with a whole lot of the families who have been victims of police brutality, where I've actually interceded when they've come to their houses, you know. I've actually stood between them and the police, and I've told them, hey, you have to get off this property right now. One of the things that they do constantly is stand up to you and tell you that you have no rights whatsoever, that we're here because we were called, and since we are on the premise, we don't know who you are. And they make, this is what I was talking about in
but let's get back
what
to
what I wrote.
Let's get back.
They think that they are infallible. So whatever you say to them,
of course, but let's get
seems what, confrontational to
course,
them.
Of course,
and they make it look that way.
So what did they demand of you, and what did you say to them?
Well, they demanded that me, a person with a cane, stand up on one leg, walk a straight line, turn around, come to 90, whatever it was. And I'm thinking to myself, this is ludicrous. Why would you ask a person with a cane to walk a straight line? This is impossible. It's just ludicrous. But it is typical of what the last administration was in power, you know, forced people to do. The impossible. And that's what they did. You know, they asked me to walk a straight line. I said, no, I can't. And so when I said I wouldn't, then they took that as a stand, you know.
So what did they arrest you for?
Well, ultimately they arrested me for two things. One was for DUI, although I wasn't driving a car, see?
So you were driving without a car, eh? Very interesting.
I was eating a sandwich. But
I was eating a sandwich.
But I, at Denny's.
Eating a sandwich while intoxicated. Or
well, it, you know, if they really...
Had you been drinking?
I had taken a drink with the elders earlier at the rally where I was at. But that had nothing to do with me driving because I wasn't driving.
Right. Were you?
No.
And you weren't so intoxicated that you couldn't take care of yourself.
Oh, no. If the police can understand that you say, well, I'm not under arrest, I have nothing to say to you, and so what is it that you want to do next? When you actually stand up and say those things to them, then they become a little bit more belligerent than what they think you've been, you know?
Of course, but you know, it seems to me the response to that, as what I used to do when that happened, is I would just look at them again without being belligerent and say, officer, what are the charges? If not, I'd like to leave.
That I did not know that I was ever under arrest, actually, all the way till the end, even after I was tortured, even after I was put in a meat freezer cell, I did not believe that I was under arrest. Then they came in, asked me to sign some things, and I said, never, I wouldn't. Never sign anything without an attorney present, without you having me, giving me the opportunity to call an attorney, which they never did.
Interesting.
So it isn't like I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
What it is I'm, you know, I'm going along with the program as much as I can because, as I said to you, I'm in a one-horse town that I've never been in before.
I got you.
So, which is predominantly white, and
so
I'm predominantly... You know, brown.
Yeah. And you are Puerto Rican. So.
Yeah, I'm Puerto Rican, but they don't know that. We're all signified and designated as Mexicanos.
Yeah,
so.
You're obviously an illegal Mexicano, hombre.
Well, I speak three or four languages, man.
Yeah.
So,
well, okay. But
I relate to Well, I've worked in all the struggles, you know, out here in the West Coast, you know.
So you were held in jail for how long?
I was held in jail overnight.
And you were also treated very abusively at a hospital ward?
Oh, yes. I was brought to, well, what happened was one of the torturers that are in that jail had slammed my head and my chest against a tall desk. And so I went into a vertigo attack, which I have no control of, you know.
And you fell down.
And I fell down. So when I fell down, they threw me into a cell. After they threw me into the cell, one of the, actually the arresting officer, and I have to be honest with you about this. The arresting officer said, wait a minute, this guy is kind of ill. I'm calling the paramedics. And the torturer said, fuck him. He's
faking.
He's faking. He's making believe. And the guy said, no.
We actually,
with that town is, and this is what I mean about it.
Yeah, we have a caller.
Like dealing with a Arpaio in Maricopa County in Arizona. Even the paramedics began to beat the shit out of me. So, you know, this is what happens with these little isolated places where they still don't seem to realize, you know, that there's a greater political presence, you know, where people have actually voted in a new president on the basis that he has promoted or promised some changes. That doesn't mean he's going to carry it out.
Oh, Obama,
but people have done this, you know.
People listening to this
can promote some change.
Curly,
but it hasn't come.
Curly, can you hear me?
Can
you hear me? Hello? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. Because people have just tuned in, and even those who have been listening may not be following this story as chronologically as they might. And I want to remind them that if you want, you wrote a very eloquent and passionate...
Well, detailed.
Wait a minute. Yeah, detailed summary of this whole story. And we have a caller. Let's see what the caller has to say or has a question for you, perhaps. Hang on. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Curly Robert and the ever-silent Adrian.
Good evening. I just wanted to ask you a question. This is Melissa Gannon. I just wanted to find out, could you have a program on prevention and problem solving and working out the situation to prevent situations with the police abuse and how to actually prevent it, such as like a program that teaches people in general how to respond to abusive police.
Sure, we can call her. We can try to do that at some point. In fact, it's a good suggestion, and thank you for your call. Go ahead, Curly. I don't think that caller was actually listening to the show. She called earlier, and she hasn't got a radio. So it's a good suggestion that she had, but it's not exactly something we can talk about in the last nine
minutes.
I actually wanted
to point out, like Mumia, my case is my case. I've dealt with many, many other cases of police brutality, people that have been tasered, murdered. I mean, we did things on stolen lives with the October 22nd coalition. Of course, I mentioned, you know, dealing with Steve Argue. I mean, to me, he's a hero based on what he did. But, you know, if you take a look at the so-called homeless problem, so-called homeless problem. Indeed, let's take a look at the present homeless problems where people have lost their homes and lives as a result of real estate hawks who sold them down the river or down the drain. And yet, who is the government trying to bail out the most? The Wall Street tycoons. So now, what do the police, City Hall, and the critics have to say? Now that what used to be blue and white, you know, color workers have been forced into the ranks of the homeless. So we're looking at all this stuff as it's happening on the ground. My whole struggle since 1967, when my eyes were opened politically, has to do with politics on the ground and the people who suffer the politics of the moment for years. You know, racial profiling has taken place in San Jose for years, and I fought it to a T with many of the progressive organizations that have surfaced, and then many of those organizations have seemingly gone on.
You know, Curly, I think it would be interesting at some point to talk more about those issues, too, because I know I recently talked about the San Jose Mercury News series on the profiling of people for not DUI, but just drunken public charges that have been used by police without breathalyzer tests, just to dump people in cells and then release them without charges.
Well, I can say some things about that, too, because there's also a reality on the ground that we have to understand about that stuff. You know, policemen in San Jose actually stand, first of all, the business people want you to go downtown and frequent their clubs and frequent their restaurants and so on and so forth. So they lure you downtown. But then the police stand outside of those restaurants and they look through the windows. They stand there and peer in there and watch to see if you have a wine with your dinner, if you have a drink or two at the bar, and then they target you when you step out. So when you step out, you've had a good dinner, you're having a drink or two, and then you step out and you're standing in front of 3 or 8 policemen who are saying, we saw you taking a drink, so you have to go downtown. And this is what I'm talking about, struggle on the ground, you know? How can the police target people after they lured them to downtown into the restaurant and then they charge them with all these horrible crimes, you know? Whether they were drinking, whether they were getting ready to drive, or sometimes they wait until they get into the vehicles and supposedly they'll charge them with DUI, you know? But all this is a setup. So now we're seeing this in San Jose as a big fight, you know, for many of the activists that are here working against police brutality to undertake. So sometimes we hear certain things in the media, but the reality on the ground is that policemen are actually targeting people who have done nothing more than to frequent the downtown area, you know, had a nice dinner, drank a bit of wine, maybe a shot of vodka or what have you, and all of a sudden when they get outside, they're met by these squads, you know. So that's my point about the problems with the police on the ground, you know.
Well, Curly, I'm going to thank you and just say that we're kind of out of time. Anything you want to sum up with? You want to give any points of contact for people who want to be supportive? I mean, you may need some money to hire an attorney, right? Because what are you charged with?
Well, I have an attorney. Actually, they could not charge me with anything. I went to court, sat there all day, and they didn't charge me with any criminal offense. But I am facing a revocation of my license. So on the 13th, I'm supposed to go to court and deal with that, and I do have an attorney. And I don't think there's going to be any problems with that because all this stuff is really bad. You know?
So you're charged with revocation of probation? Is that right?
No, revocation of my license because supposedly I had a DUI, driving under the influence.
Well, now, wait a minute, but you aren't charged with DUI. So what are they talking
about?
No,
they did charge me with DUI, but the problem is that they have no blood content or anything else to prove that I was driving under the influence. So I don't think there's going to be a problem with that.
Well,
and
maybe
I also
they can
have an attorney who's,
you know, maybe they can,
that,
maybe they can,
the
maybe they can,
we'll
maybe they can. Maybe
this is a hearing in front of the DMV. I haven't officially been charged because I don't think that.
Well,
the prosecuting
hold it, Curly. You have confessed to eating a chicken sandwich after drinking, so that could be criminal behavior. You know, keep that in mind.
Especially when you have a kefir on.
Yeah, with a kefir. I mean, you know, this is pretty serious stuff. So I think we better leave you before I get, tainted by further association with you, you know, as a former Black Panther, Black Liberation Army guy and chicken sandwich eater.
That's great. I'll be glad to call up Sunday and do a poem for all of the people in Santa Cruz that I love so much, including you and the brother who's kind of silenced there, and Steve Argue, and
she's a sister. Don't forget that.
I'm so sorry.
Hardly be mistaken for a brother. I'll tell you.
She's
too good looking for a brother.
I'm listening to
you. For all the people in Santa Cruz that I love so dearly, and hope for justice for all of them, I would be glad to do a poem for them on Sunday.
That would be great, Curly. call in anytime between 9:30 and 1 in the afternoon. And thanks for giving us the story. And if, again, for people who didn't catch the whole story, Santa Cruz Indie Media has it, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. Look for Curly Estramiros, and you'll find the story on the right side of the screen. And thank you, Adrian, for being in the studio with us and giving us the gypsy lifestyle, not to mention all those embraces, hugs, and passionate kisses off air, which we won't go into at this time.
Thank you very much, Robert.
And we have next talk show host is here, too. Thanks a lot, Curly. Call back.
You're welcome.
All right. Hey, and we have, of course, the usual interruptions from our drunken sot, creamy. Anyway, he's got a show coming up that's got a lot of music on it. I'll be back again on Sunday, assumedly.
At
9:30 in the morning until 1, and there'll be a cop watch. Yes, there's going to be a cop watch Saturday at 5. I forgot to mention that, folks. 5 o'clock in front of Borders. If you want to see some police in action, you can. Come down and join us. You can also come to the Human Rights Organization meeting at 3 o'clock at the Sub Rosa Cafe, also on Saturday. So you can come to one, and then you can go to the other. Think of that. If you don't like meetings, call the Huff line, 423-HUFF, and I'll explain to you how wonderful meetings are. Or perhaps we'll work through things without meetings. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Back with you again soon.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Until the pain is so big, you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at school. They hate if you're clever and despise a fool. Till you're so fucking crazy you can't follow their rules. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they tortured and scared you for 20-odd years, a career when you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Joked with religion and sex and TV, and you think you're so clever and classless and free, but you're still fucking peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be in. just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
Well, we ain't got no heroes around here. We just got free radio. Uncle Dennis sitting in here in the squeaky chair today. And Robert will be back on Sunday if you really care about those things. Anyway, this is, of course, Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1, www.freakradio.org. The name of the show is From the Cream to the Dregs, and we will be playing rock and roll from the 60s and the 70s all up until 11 o'clock. You're going to have to excuse my raspy voice, because that's what I got tonight, a raspy voice. So take care. We'll talk to you in a little while after something. We're going to play a bit of early Who here.
Can't explain. I feel like good now, yeah, but can't explain.
because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation,
my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Don't try and dig what we all say. A big sensation.
Talking about my generation,
what we all
I don't mind other guys dancing with my girl.